Good morning. Please turn your song books to 552. I want to welcome everyone here at the Church of Christ. We have Charles Savage this morning come back to speak to us. Good to have him. 552.
Walking alone at even, viewing the skies afar, bidding the darkness come to welcome each silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful things above. God in His power and might is showing His truth and love. Oh, for a home with God, a place in His course to rest, sure and a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once freed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Sitting alone at even, dreaming the hours away, watching the shadows falling now at the close of day. God in His mercy comes with His word He is drawing near, spreading His love and truth around me and
go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty Father in heaven, so thankful, Lord God, for this first day of the week, Lord. As we come here, Lord, to study Thy Word, Lord, and praise Thy holy sweet name, Lord. Lord, we ask You be with Charles as he brings the message before us, Lord. Lord, that You would inspire him, Lord, with Thy Word, Lord. Lord, he would be the Word, Lord, that would go out among us, Lord. Lord, and we pray, Lord, if there's any lost among us today, would be today, Lord. They would give their heart to Thee, Lord. So thankful, Lord God, for what Jesus done for us up on the cross, Lord. As we gather to lift Him up here today, Lord, we pray, Lord, if we would do it in spirit and in the truth, Lord. Lord, and just be with us, Lord, as we go on with the service, Lord. So thankful, Lord God, that we have Your Word to study, Lord, and to live by, Lord, and help us to do the things, Lord, that You would have us to do, Lord. Strengthen us in all ways, Lord. And help us always look before Thee, Lord, the places we are going and the places that we have been, Lord. And we just praise Thy holy sweet name, Lord. And we ask Your blessings up on the service in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
The reading will come from John 3, verse 1 and 2. Pew Bibles, 1487. 1487 of Pew Bibles. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
Invitation song will be 553. Please turn to 698. We'll sing this song one verse twice, please.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King.
If you would please turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. We're going to take a look at the entire chapter. I normally don't do this. I normally just pick three or four verses and go with it and talk about it. But I'm going to talk about the entire chapter because if I don't, something's going to be missing. Yeah, we all like a good ending. Okay, we have an ending that in the chapter that is extremely important to those of us who attend. This is why we're here. We are here. If I don't pay attention to the entire chapter, I really do miss it. I miss the entire thing. So, I don't know how you were when you were in school. Quite frequently, when you had to memorize all 50 states of the United States, there was always something that you had to remember about each one. And some of you will probably remember the saying. Some of you may not. And do you remember which state in the United States is called the Show Me State? Now, if you remember, just raise your hand. One, two. Okay, two people remember the Show Me State. Okay, thank you. Okay, here we go. This Willard Vandiver. Okay, you probably do not remember the name Willard Vandiver. If you didn't remember him, that's okay. I didn't remember him either. All I remembered was the saying. Okay, William Duncan Vandiver. I suppose that's supposed to make a difference. He was from the U.S. House of Representatives from 1897 to 1903. And while serving there, he was also the House Committee for Naval Affairs. Now, that may not mean much to some of us, but you know, once you start getting credits to your name, they just keep piling up, I guess. And he says, he is given credit for saying, I came from a state that raises corn and cotton and cockle burrs and Democrats. And frothy eloquence neither convince nor satisfy me. I am from Missouri. You have to show me. Some of us see some now. Whether he actually really said that or not is always a good question, because the other side of the coin is, another version indicates that during the strike in Colorado, miners from Missouri who were unfamiliar with Colorado mining techniques had often asked for information from the pit bosses on how to mine Colorado style. Digging a hole, right? I guess. Anyway, so frequently they would ask the pit bosses, and the pit bosses would say, that man is from Missouri. You'll have to show him. Now, one sounds like a compliment, and one sounds like an insult. But, you know, there, and so which version is really true is a good question. Regardless of the thought, though, it now means that someone who is stalwart, conservative, and non-credential character is a Missourian. Okay, so the whole idea is, you know, don't just tell me, show me. Okay, now, to be fair to human beings as a whole, aren't we kind of like that? Really? So the politician is only, you know, saying something that should be extremely obvious to all of us. As Christians, you know, we expect people to take our word for things. But our title as Christians tells us that we should follow Christ. And we're supposed to follow his example, are we not? Okay, good. All right. That's why we're Christians, because we are followers of Christ. We follow what he has done. We follow what he intended us to do. And so in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus actually sets the example for us. You go, okay, this is cool. That's kind of, but isn't chapter 3 about John the Baptist? Yes, it is. It is about John the Baptist. Until it's not. So let's go to chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness in Judea, okay, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So John is setting the way for the people who are around him. Repent. Okay, repent. Repent of your sins. Almost every prophet that comes along should be saying, "Repent of your sins." This is because things are coming. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, for this is he who is spoken by the prophet, who? Isaiah. Okay, if you go back to Isaiah and the chapter 40, talks about the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Okay, make his paths clear. Okay, nobody likes following a crooked path. There are, getting here from Zanesville, I like lots of hills and curves. I love this trip. I know you've heard me say this before, but I love the scenery coming here. By the way, I don't know what flowers they are. It shows you what little I know about gardening. But there are some, or the orange flowers are in bloom. Now I take it that those are lilies? Lilies, okay, thank you. Somebody's got some beautiful orange lilies on one side of the road. They're on the right-hand side as you're coming from Zanesville. And it's like, oh yeah, if my wife sees those, I need to bring this home, and somebody's probably going to arrest me for trespassing. Okay, I can see this happening, because I'm going to have to, and I do have a shovel in the back of my truck, so that's not, no. If you see my name, in the county news where I got arrested for digging up in somebody's yard, it's Charles. Yeah, he did that. He shouldn't have done that. But anyway, we're supposed to make the paths, he says, let's make the path clear for who's coming. Who's coming? John doesn't say, but he's important. He doesn't actually name Jesus at this point. Okay? He says, the voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Okay, there's only one. Okay. Make his path straight. Now, John himself was clothed in camel hair. I don't know about you, but I've never worn camel hair. Have you ever worn camel hair? No. I assume that it's, you know, itchy to a certain extent. It's kind of like wool. We're all used to wearing wool at some point in time. And he's clothed in camel hair, and he's got a leather belt around him. Okay, that doesn't sound like much. That's it, you know. And nothing fancy. It's definitely not fancy, okay. And his food is locust and wild honey. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't go around eating bugs. I am not a bug eater. Okay, anybody in here eat locust ever? I'm it. Okay, wow. Okay. Your son is going to talk you into eating a locust someday. Why? He's a kid. Okay. Mom, you should eat this. Okay. Okay. You know, put some honey on it. Honey, everything tastes better with honey, right? Broccoli, you know, cauliflower, bugs. Okay, there you go. And so that's the whole idea, is you go, well, there's some nutrition there. We're told that, you know, you pull the legs off, you can eat it, there's some nutrition there. Okay. At one time that I've eaten locust, I was like, wow, this is going to be tough. Yeah, it was. It was tough. I prefer not to do that again. It's like eating chocolate-covered grasshoppers. No, thank you. I've done it once. I can say that I have and move on. But anyway, but John's life is very, very simple. He doesn't need much. He realizes that his job is to do one thing. Let you know that the Messiah is coming. The Lord is coming. That's all he's there for. He lets us know. And he's telling people, repent. You need to stop doing what you're doing that's wrong. Pretty simple message, really. Stop doing what you're doing wrong. Say you're sorry. Get baptized and move on. Clear the way for the Lord. It's a pretty simple message. You know, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to do this, but John's a pretty sharp fella. Second of all, he has to concentrate on what he's doing. Otherwise, the world's going to pull him away into other things. John has to stay focused. He does, by keeping a very simple lifestyle. You know, it doesn't say that he has money, power, fame of any kind whatsoever. But he must be famous of some kind because he has a following. And people understand what he's saying, what he's doing. He's baptizing people. There in Jerusalem, all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him. These people know who he is. Okay, people have a tendency to follow teachers. Okay, he had a reputation. These people would not bother if what he was saying wasn't true, or at least convincing. Okay? John knows that what he's saying is true. And so do they. People are not just come out just for curiosity's sake. They got other things to do. Okay? So John is saying, look, this is what's going on. And the Lord is coming. Okay? And then Jerusalem, all of Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him. And were what? Baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. They realize that what he's doing is extremely important. Okay, you don't confess your sins to just anybody. We don't. You wouldn't tell me your sins unless you felt comfortable telling me these things. You have to trust him. If you confess your sins to me, you have to trust me. Otherwise, you're talking to a complete stranger, and that really doesn't make sense to most of us. It really doesn't. Why would you tell a complete... Well, I don't know. We do social media things. We do weird things on the internet now because we don't think anybody's actually paying attention to us. You get on their Facebook and you rant and rave about all kinds of stuff, and then you hit send. We as human beings are strange people. We do some really odd things. How many times you've read something on Facebook and you go, why would you put that out there? We're strange, yeah. Yeah, our brains have evolved into something. I'm not sure what, but we've evolved into something. But anyway, they're confessing their sins to John. But when he saw the many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to him, coming to his baptism, he said to them, ooh, this is where things get really ugly. Okay. Brood of vipers, this is an insult. This is not good. He is insulting them because he knows what they're like. Okay, politicians, they show up at your door. You already know what they want. Okay, this isn't too much different. The Pharisees and Sadducees show up. You already know what they want. Trouble. They're going to tell you what to think. They're going to tell you you're doing wrong. They want you to stop doing what you're doing because you're being effective. John's being very effective here. Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Oh, this is where it gets really interesting. So he tells them in the very next verse, therefore, bear fruits worthy of what? Repentance. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Tell me you're sorry. Tell God you're sorry. Repent. Okay, now, what does it really mean to repent? What does it really mean to repent? It means to say you're sorry. But there's more to it than that. isn't there? A lot more to it than that. The hard part, the easy part is saying you're sorry. You say, I just can't go to my neighbor and say I'm sorry for doing whatever. Yes, you can. We all do it. We all have to do it. Otherwise, we're going to be mad at our neighbor's going to be mad at us forever. We're going to be mad at our neighbor forever. Hatfields and McCoys seems to run in my head for some strange reason. But, yeah, we all know how that feud's still going at some point in time. But anyway, you know, you have to say you're sorry. And then what do? You fix it. Just saying you're sorry, I mean, don't tell me, show me. Okay? Jesus, John says, don't tell me that you're sorry, show me. That's part of the repentance. Okay, if we just say we're sorry and we don't change our minds, you know, if you tell God you're sorry for doing whatever, and, you know, if you rob the bank, you say you're sorry, that's great, but you still have to pay for robbing the bank. You still have to do that. Just because you said you're sorry doesn't fix it. You've done something wrong, say you're sorry, then fix it. If it's within your power to fix, fix it. Sorry, I didn't mean to give you food poisoning. Can I make it? Well, you know, we might have to worry, but be concerned about, you know, doing that again. I've done that a couple of times in our house. When I cook, it's not a good idea, you know. And my wife lets me cook. I don't understand that. You'd think she would tell me no. But anyway, he says, bear fruits worthy of repentance. So don't just tell me you're sorry. Do something that says you're sorry. Fix it. Okay? And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. How often do you know, this is my relative. I can do whatever because they're my relative. And we've been doing, no. John says you can't do that. He says, you cannot say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from what? Stones. Basically, he's saying he can raise them from the dead. He can raise them from nothing. Raise them out of the ground. And your point is what? If God can do that, what you have, your connection to Abraham means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Why? Because somebody is coming that is going to nullify all of that. Your traditions that you have built upon the idea of Abraham being your father is not going to count. How many times do you know of somebody who says, well, my family's been doing this for decades, and we're the only ones who can do this? And you're like, no. John is saying that doesn't count for anything. It now is no longer going to count. It's about to go away. You need to repent and show God your repentance. Don't tell him. Show him. Okay. And even now, the axe is laid on the root of the tree. He says it's about to end. They're going to cut it down. That tree, that family tree that you were relating on, you were relying on. My mother loves doing genealogy. I keep at it. She says, you know, did you know that so-and-so is our relative? I don't even know who that is. She says, did you know this person's our relative? Yeah. Sure, Mom. You know, my mother is, let's see, how old am I? Okay, my mother is 86 years old. And she still likes doing her genealogy because she likes to find our family relatives. I told her, Mom, don't tell me any more about the relatives unless they're axe murderers or horse thieves. And moonshiners. Well, I shouldn't have said that part either because eventually she told me about that one. But anyway, you know, don't tell me about them unless they're axe murderers or horse thieves. That makes it more interesting. Okay. If for some strange reason we found out through my mother that, you know, 3/4 of my family is Irish. Okay. I'm not sure what the other quarter is. I think it's German or Native American or something to that effect. But I'm like, okay, so we came from Ireland. It's great. Belfast, to be exact. And you look at this and go, okay, what's that do for me now? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Okay. And so after knowing all that, I don't get the farm in Morgan County. It belongs to somebody else at this point in time. But, you know, the Sadducees and Pharisees were counting on this lineage to last forever, till the Messiah came back. And John is telling them, no, this tree is coming down. Your connection is coming down. It's going to go away. Okay, and in verse 10, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit, does not bear what? Good fruit. Ooh, it's not just fruit. Good fruit. Okay. Is cut down and thrown away into the fire. We were talking about that fig tree earlier. Yeah, the one in the fig tree. Jesus says, it's not bearing fruit. Die. And it dies. Later on, Jesus says, if your fig tree is not producing fruit, it will die. You know, and that's how you can tell it's supposed to be, because it's got nice green leaves on it. It's supposed to have fruit on it. But the one that Jesus saw looked at it and said, you're not doing what you're supposed to. Die. And so, you know, they are being warned. The leaders, the Sadducees and Pharisees, are being warned. It says, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me, somebody who's coming after me, is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. Can you imagine somebody saying, I am not good enough to even carry the shoes of the person who's coming? Wait a minute, John, aren't you really a great guy? You're getting everybody baptized. You're getting them to repent. They're listening to you. Yes, but the guy who's coming after me, I'm not even close to being good enough to even carry his shoes. Now, I work at the skating rink. I handle a lot of people's shoes. A lot of people's shoes. You know, they give me their shoes. I give them skates. And when they're done skating around for a couple of hours, they bring their skates back. And I have to give them their shoes back. Okay, now, there's a lot of handling of odors between one place and the other in 2 hours. I promise you, it's there. Okay, so can you imagine? John says the person coming after me is much greater than I am. I am not even a servant worthy to carry his shoes. That's interesting. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He's letting you know what's going to be happening. Eventually, when this person comes along, he's going to be clearing things out. He's going to clear out the junk. He's going to keep what's worthwhile. Okay, he's letting you know what's going to happen eventually during judgment. Then we get to verse 13. And Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Ooh, okay, now we know who's coming. Jesus comes along. By the way, do you remember or did you know that John and Jesus are cousins? Okay, you did know that. Good. Okay, thank you. That helps. Okay, so you have a cousin. Okay, so which one is your least favorite cousin? I don't even know most of my cousins. Okay, John and Jesus were cousins. They also knew each other fairly well. I mean, it's a small community. And they liked each other. Okay, so John recognizes Jesus. You know, sometimes you don't want to, hey cousin, you pass your cousin on the street and you go, oh, I don't know the person. They're not my cousin. It's because, you know, you really don't want to, don't like each other or whatever it happens to be. But anyway, Jesus comes all the way to Galilee to John at the Jordan. Okay, so he had come a little distance to be baptized by him. John tried to do what? Prevent him. John said, wait a minute. I need to be baptized by you. And you are coming to me? Okay, there's a little... Okay, John feels uncomfortable because he knows that Jesus is who he's been talking about. He knows that Jesus is who he says he is. And John says, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be baptized. I should be baptized by you, and you're coming to me? Wait a minute. No. Hold on here. And Jesus says, permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So John has to baptize Jesus because Jesus says you're supposed to. And you have to do it now. So that we can fulfill the prophecy. Okay, John has to do it. Jesus has to be baptized. The two of them have to do it together. Otherwise, they're not fulfilling prophecy. John and Jesus have to do this together. John has to do the baptism. Jesus has to be baptized to fulfill the prophecy. Don't tell me, show me. So when somebody looks at you and says, well, just believe in Jesus. It's all good. You're saved. That's not true. As Christians, we're to follow Jesus' example. In verse 16, and he was what? Baptized. Okay, so when somebody says, you got to show me in the Bible where it says baptism is necessary. There you go. Matthew 3:16. There it is. That's all you need. That's it. Pretty simple, isn't it? Christianity is pretty simple. There's your verse. I know. You can go and find other verses. But the example, show me. And there you are. Jesus was baptized. It's that simple. It really is. And he had been baptized. Jesus, what? Came up. Okay, sprinkling doesn't work. If sprinkling works, then I should go stand out in the parking lot. Nope, it stopped raining. Sorry. Okay, it stopped raining. Okay, so I can't go out and stand out in the parking lot. It says, and he came up immediately. Came up out of what? Water. Came up out of the Jordan. Which means you went down into the Jordan. You have to do a little bit of logic here. If I came up out of something, that means I went down into something, right? Okay. Up, down. Okay. That I know this sounds really silly, but this is the logic behind it because people say, oh, I just take, well, if that's the case, I'll take my garden hose and just sprinkle water in there. That doesn't work. Jesus came up out of, which means he went down into. It really is that simple. Came immediately from the water, and behold, this is the part that really kind of, it says, and the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending, what? Descending like a dove. Doesn't say it was a dove. I know somebody who insists on having doves flown up out of people's, when people pass away and they have funerals. Their signature thing is that they let a dove fly up because it sort of helps represent the spirit, you know, that kind of the going to heaven type thing. But it's the descending like a dove, which means, you know, probably lands on you pretty easily, okay, upon him. And this is the part where you see in verse 17, the descension of the Spirit of God is great, but this is the part where you get the best. And suddenly a voice from heaven. I hear voices from heaven. I kind of wonder what's going on. Am I in trouble? You know, it's like, okay. The voice from heaven saying, what? This is who? My son. Who's he talking about? Jesus. What did he do? He was baptized. By who? His cousin John. This is my beloved son. Okay, the only one. Beloved son. In what? Whom I am well pleased. I don't know about you, but as a kid, I liked it when my father looked at me and said, son, you did good. It meant a lot. It's like, yeah, finally got it right. Yes, I didn't ski off the garage. Yes, I lived. Okay, those kinds of things. So there were times my dad would look at me and, son, you might want to think about that. I heard that a lot as a kid. You know, my dad would just look at me, son, and go, oh, this is not good. But in this particular case, Jesus said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. When you got dad's approval, that was important to you. When you got mom's approval, that was important to you. Jesus got the approval from his father. Jesus, my son, did what he was supposed to do. He's doing it, and he's doing it right. Something very simple, being baptized, following rules, doing what you know is right in the sight of God. That's hard for some of us. It's a simple rule, but it's hard to follow. Jesus did it. That starts everything. Because in chapter 4, what happens right after that, as most of us know? Then he's tempted. Most of the time, Satan's not going to tempt us until we've made a commitment. I'm about to ruin what you just did. I'm about to ruin that, or at least attempt to. Okay. We may get to that story another day. But right now, we know that Jesus didn't just say, I know I need to be baptized. He told John, you know I need to do this. You know we need to do this. And you have to do it with me. And John did, because John knew he needed to do this too. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have got to chapter 4. It wouldn't have made any difference for us. Jesus didn't tell us to do it. He showed us. And that's the part that we all need to remember. If there's any possible way that we can help you further do what you need to do as a Christian, please come forward now as we stand and sing.
Have you a heart weary, tempting a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know? Do you know my friend?
turn to 159. 159. Prayer of Minds, take the Lord's Supper.
Does anybody need the communion this morning? If you do, I'll have Ernie, or I have some up here that we can give. Upon the first day of the week, we come and we surround this table and remember what Christ did for us upon the cross. You know, Christ was taken to the cross. You know, he did this by what his Father had told him to do. You know, he didn't want to go. And we even read where he was really not wanting to go. But he knew he had to. So now we have this where we go. He commands us up on the first day of the week to come and surround this table in remembrance of what he done up on the cross and what he did for all of us. You know, when he did all that up on the cross, he didn't know none of us. We didn't even exist, but he did it for us, and he did this so we remember. I like to turn to, in Scripture and turn to Matthew, and turn to Matthew chapter 26, and start with verse 26, and read through 29. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink, eat, all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink hereforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Like I said, we have the emblems that they gave to us, Christ gave to us, so we would remember what we need to do. Like the bread that we partake of represents his body that was taken up on the cross. And the fruit of the vine represents the blood that he shed upon the cross. And he did this all for us. Let's go to God in prayer and give thanks for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we like to thank you for letting us be able to come and surround this table and remember what Christ did for us upon the cross. Bless this bread for its intended purpose. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, we have the fruit of the vine that represents his blood that he shed upon the cross. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to continue our thanks for what Christ did for us by going to the cross and saving us from all what we have. And he shed his blood upon the cross for us. Bless us for the intended purpose, all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, separate and apart from partaking of the communion, it represents Christ's body and his blood, is the offering. And it goes back to the work of the church. It supports the church. And it supports us in the works that we have of what we need. Let's go to God in prayer and give thanks for that. Our Father in heaven, we know that everything that we have and we have comes from you. And we know that by just looking out in nature and seeing we see that in front of us. And we know that all comes from you. Be with us now as we go to give back what we've been prospered for the work of the church. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good to see everyone this morning. I want to thank Charles for coming this morning. Appreciate him. Announcements, no bulletin this morning, so. All right. I remember Jim, he got bit by a tick and he's taking that medicine and he's not feeling well. Remember Jim in your prayers, he'll get back soon. There's a sign-up sheet for Friday night, be our saying. Hope everyone can come, invite others, hope other congregations come. I believe this is good work and we hope everyone will get involved in the work here. We sure need the help. And that's what it is, bearing fruit. Jesus wants us to do that. Sign up list there if you can help in being here, please, to support. We cleaned the room out yesterday. There's things out there. It's free if you want them. Take what you want. But if it's not gone by Wednesday, it'll be gone Thursday if no one gets it. Right, Ern, Thursday? Except that wheelchair out there, it's already taken. Does anyone have any other announcements needs to be announced? Good to see everyone this morning. Can't think of anything else. Okay, if not, Tyler will lead us in prayer.
Dear God in heaven, we humbly come before you on this blessed day to be able to come and worship you, study your word, and sing these songs unto you. God, we thank you for having Charles speak for us today. Please help us to take what we learned today, applying that to our lives, and that we're able to reach others and to continue to grow your church in spirit and numbers. God, please be with us as we go our separate ways, that we continue to walk in the heavenly light. And when we fall short, Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.